Hello, Michael McKenzie here for Life Matters. Our next guest is a former Australian Children's Laureate. He is co-writer and subject of the Emmy-nominated series The Wrong Kind of Black, which I've been enjoying. It's currently screening, by the way, on Netflix. And he's renowned as a First Nations storyteller who has shared his words and wisdom and humour with more than 1 million school students, both here and overseas. Burri Monty Pryor, hello, welcome to Life Matters.
Hello, thanks for having me on.
Lovely to have you. Burri, I've been really enjoying your book. It looks on the face of it like it's aimed at children, but I don't think that's really the case. It looks simplistic, but there's so much to be read in this. I've read it 5 times and I keep finding new things. Perhaps you can tell us about the writing of this book.
I suppose that was the intent after the idea came about, and I think you've read the foreword, and that was painful to kind of to get things moving. So it was facing my fears and owning up to them, which is kind of what I'm asking for everybody to do in the verse.
What were those fears that you were facing up to, Burri?
Well, just the all we do is argue, and it just continues. Nobody ever starts from the inside. It's all external. Thoughts and words are spoken about what is seen outside. Nobody ever seeks the internal, which we must. And I think that starting at the beginning and knowing that it's going to hurt to start, for me, is who I am, at terra nullius. Well, you know, of course we've got to start there. But how do we begin the journey to not frighten people to find a way to even say the word? So I had to write something that would allow everybody in, children included, to see it, to be aware of it, to wrap themselves around, or wrap it around them to make them safe, to say it's okay on the journey to seek this out, because we'll get better after that.
Well, Burri, I'm going to get you to read an excerpt from your own book in a moment, but I think just before we do, we should explain to people too that you said you were a little worried about starting the process because you knew the impact it was going to have on you, but
Yep. You
also describe how welding words together was a long process, but the further you got into it, the more the healing took on.
Yes.
Yeah.
So And like I say in the foreword, it was like one word in 1 month, 2 words in 2 months, and it was almost 7 days a week during COVID and lockdown. And it was really testing the waters of myself. And I've worked with over 1.5 million children, and I think I know that every single child and teacher and adult that I'd work with was holding me and helping me, because they wanted to know as well that they're sick and tired of being sick as well. So So the pressure was on me that that I had to do this.
And I take it literally the decades of storytelling and engagement with people live in front of your eyes as you drop these words from your culture and your mouth and your sense of play and improvisation into storytelling, that's informed, I take it, what's inside the story doctors.
Yes. The examples are that I was at a preschool one day and I said, okay, kids, give your teachers a wave and say, hello, teachers. And the kids waved teachers, and they said, hello, teachers. And then I said, teachers, give your children a wave and say, hello, teachers. And the teachers go, hello, teachers, hello, teachers. And, of course, the kids go, hold on a second. We're the kids, and you're the teachers, So I said, teachers, do they teach you anything? And the teachers go, every day. So then I go, okay, and kids, you give me Band-Aids every time I come and see you. And one little girl in front said, are you sick? And I said, no, but sometimes people can't see that you're hurt, and sometimes you need a Band-Aid for insight. And I said, teacher, do the children give you Band-Aids? And they say, every day. So that's simple. But how do we do that?
So powerful. That's, yeah. Buri Monty Pryor is my guest. And Buri, I think the time is to has come for you to put your book words into action on the radio. So would you like to read something? And I'll let you start and finish anywhere you want. Where would you like to go?
Okay, well, I'll start the first bit. Story okay. Doctors.
Okay.
From whence we came, the sum of some, observe the tracks from where we come. Heel and toe, tread, heat and snow, impressions left behind, of footprints so maligned. Standing tall, writes on the wall, with spit and ochre, charcoal too, all this written just to you. From foot through hand, a nurtured land speaks through charcoal beings. What lies within can now begin, across cathedral walls. This stony face, a storied place where animals animate and beings gravitate to do a dance entwined. In charcoal, so refined. Spit and ochre, they talk too. That's nothing new. With law and order, it's life in order. So.
Beautifully read, Buri.
Thank you.
I think you've got a real future in the storytelling caper.
Okay, you've got to keep trying, mate.
This is almost like a tone poem. It's not in the way we normally speak, but it carries a rhythm of power, and also I love the way you're not afraid in a book that on the face of it looks like it's destined for younger readers or younger people to hear. You're not afraid to talk about the darkness of history in relation to how we haven't heard the land or First Nations people?
Well, cleverly, I suppose the trick is, or the thing to do is to have great people around you, you know, and I have in my family, and Rita's family as well, she's the illustrator. And if you notice that the words are there, but in the DNA face of, you know, the string thing that opens up, it's looking back at the past and it looks like a thumbprint and a face. In there is the story and pictures from the past. So I don't have to explain that that way. That explains it that way. But I am explaining it another way. So you're getting hit from two directions, in a sense. And so you've got to make up your mind. And it's about really pleading with whoever's reading this to make a decision on doing the work.
And when you say doing the work, what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, I get all the time, well, you know, it's happened in the past, get over it. We give you lots of money, you know, you do this, do that. But the real damage is that when they blew up sacred sites in front of everybody and they knew, they're not just destroying Aboriginal sites. In a sense, they're destroying their own. Because to be one in this country, we have to feel like we belong first. And then we have to, you know, at least speak to each other, because they're always talking about reconciliation. But reconciliation means that you have a tiff and you're fixing things up. We haven't even seen each other yet.
Mm.
So I think that, you know, we've got to find a way to actually look at, you know, in any relationship, you know, both parties have to come to the table, you know. So in this sense, we're still not sitting at the same table. I mean, some people are, and we're all trying our best, but, you know, our leaders have to get in, you know, get in and do something. And when we have a leader that says there was no slavery in Australia, well, we're not, you know, we've just gone back a bit. And it's that's what I'm trying to say. And when I say, so this new way of learning from blackfellas, so this new way of learning, is it really so concerning? Well, if you try, you will spy. The reason there's no treason, you're not giving up on yourself. It belies your size, just drink the story through your eyes. So I'm just saying, take a look at it.
And don't be afraid of what you might find.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you find that there's a complete lack of fear, in fact, a real eagerness amongst younger Australians of all cultural backgrounds to accept that message?
Yes, and this is my point on we're starving our children by not owning up to the things that we're afraid of as adults and leaders. We are really and truly hurting our kids. And I think, you know, my process of working through and going to schools and preschools and high schools, and this actually sums it up to the best, all right? I'll just tell you a little story, just not a long one.
Yeah,
I go to this preschool all the time over in Footscray in Melbourne, and I got an email and says, hi, Bori, this is the kinder teacher that you met at Saltwater Childcare Centre at Footscray last week. Hope you are well. We love having you. And you are my favourite visitor of the year, so thank you. I just wanted to write to you because I had a child who was crying this morning. He was sobbing, actually, with tears rolling down his cheeks. He was saying that next year, he will be at primary school and is devastated that he won't see you at Saltwater again. Well, I suggested we write you a letter, email, and he really liked this. It goes like this. Dear Bori Monty Pryor, I won't see you again because I'm going to school. I really love you. I love your teaching us. I love you putting the paint on us. I love the dancing and the singing. You're the best Aboriginal in the world. My name is Jonah. Love from Jonah.
That's brilliant. That is so brilliant.
So all you Monty Pryor. Out there, I am the best. But
yeah, what, I think it's clear.
What I'm saying is that here's this young boy, this millions that age, wants to know about their country.
Yeah.
Wants to know. But we're not allowing them to see it.
And he wants that relationship to be maintained. Unfortunately, we run out of time, but thank you for letting us drop in on your relationship to land and people over this conversation. It's been absolutely wonderful. Bori Monty Pryor, thank you very much.
Very much.
He's a First Nations storyteller, writer, performer. His new book is called Story Doctors, illustrated brilliantly by Rita Sinclair. And NAIDOC Week runs from Sunday the 4th to the 11th of July.